We're talking to Dr. Charlotte Collins, a clinical psychologist who's director of the Center for Professionalism and Well-Being at Geisinger. Thanks for talking to us, Dr. Collins. Thanks for participating in this discussion.
Thanks for inviting me.
Your job now is to try to help take good care of the healthcare workers that are up there. Explain what the Center for Professionalism and Well-Being is.
So the Center for Professionalism and Well-Being was designed to really help mainly our providers initially to make sure that we were creating an environment that supported the well-being of the people who work at Geisinger as well as the patients, because individuals who have high well-being and are doing well take better care of patients. And so that has been our focus. When the COVID crisis hit, we expanded our reach to all of our employees at Geisinger because everyone is stressed by this pandemic. And we want to make sure that our team at Geisinger is well taken care of so that they can take care of the patients that are going to need us.
And for some of the employees there that are sort of on the front lines, as we say, what kind of stress are they under?
So you know what? They're no different from the people out in the community, I think. Everybody's frightened. Our entire way of living has been turned upside down. This is very unpredictable. We have no idea when it'll be over. And so it's hard on everybody, physically, mentally, and emotionally. At Geisinger, we have been working really hard for quite some time to prepare, to be ready for this pandemic when it hits us, and to make sure that we have everything we need to do it, and that includes staff who are ready to go.
How do you interact with the staff at the hospital now? Explain, not a typical day, I know there's never such a thing anymore, but explain what happens on a daily basis in your work now.
So now we have put some additional resources in place for our people. And one of them is just an opportunity for those people that are feeling stressed to have someone to talk to. We have set up a system where people can contact us and speak confidentially and off the record just about the stress they're facing so that we can understand what's going on for them and give them some ideas and tips to manage better and connect them with additional resources as they need that. We are also going out. Although going out is virtual now, we are meeting with groups and teams to talk about what to expect, what stress looks like, how to deal and manage stress in this kind of crisis environment, and make sure that they're aware of all the resources that are needed, that might be needed by them, so that they can reach out to those.
What are some of your tips on how to get through this?
Stressful situations and traumatic situations, as this really is, we haven't really called it a trauma, we're calling it a pandemic, but it is traumatic for, I think, our whole country. And so when you are in a situation like that, there's a couple of things we really recommend. One is that you have to take care of your own health first, that people tend not to eat well or sleep well or get their usual exercise. And things like that that we say are really awfully important to make sure that in the middle of what's going on that you're taking good care of your own health. The other thing we talk a lot about is focusing on what you can control when so much is out of control. So what are the things you can do today to take care of yourself, your family, your community, and to accomplish what needs to be done? And to celebrate those small accomplishments when they happen, because there's a lot of stuff flying at everybody, and in the middle of that, being able to zone in and focus in on what are the pieces that we can keep moving with and keep doing. So I think those are two really important things. The other one that we talk a lot about is self-compassion. I mean, it's normal to be scared and worried. We need to acknowledge that that's happening for us and kind of come back and be kind to ourselves in the middle of that, not be self-critical and not beating ourselves up for what we couldn't do, but really being kind to ourselves the way we're kind to our patients and other people in our life, that we can keep going when the times are tough.
I think that's a very interesting remark. I would think you'd have a caregiver that would say, I am generally the individual who is the calming influence, and I'm generally dispensing what I hope is sound advice about how to get through this. But I find myself chastising myself because I always say I'm kind of wound up, or I have a short fuse, or, you know, all the lay terms that for how I feel right now. So that's a real thing, this idea that people kind of beat up on themselves if they're not as calm as they wish maybe their patients would be.
And, you know, the expectation on our people to take care of others are really high, and we're all human too. And people are working hard, and people are going to work harder, and shifts are going to get longer. And under that circumstance, there's a lot of pressure, and we want to stay perfect, most of us, through all of that, and that's really not possible. And so being able to recognize when we're not at the level we wanted to be, pull back, be kind to ourselves, and get back at being as good as we can be and doing as much as we can that needs to be done.
Tell me about your conversations with the leaders, with the bosses at the facility. What do you tell them about taking good care of their staff?
Yeah, you know, well-being has risen to a very important level. It's always been important. I think in this case, leaders are seeing their teams, and a lot of times they tell me, I can kind of see it on their face, or I feel it in the room where just something has changed. And I think that people need to understand that healthcare workers are hearing about and concerned about also getting the virus while taking care of people who have it. And the shortage of equipment, although I think we're in good shape on that regard, but just being on those front lines is for not just the physicians and other care workers who, you know, are willing to be out there and put themselves on the line, but then they go home to their families at night and concern about whether they are potentially infecting someone they love. So I think that there's a lot of pressure, and this is a tough and dedicated and passionate group of people, and so they want to do it, and they want to do it well. So we talk to leaders about making sure that well-being is on the radar, that we're normalizing, that we're kind, and that we're working well together, and that the team, we're doing things to pull teamwork together in this crisis, and that resources are available, and that we're encouraging people to use them, and that it's okay to not be okay once in a while, and we have to recognize when we're struggling and help each other out.
We'll talk more about it later this year, but give me a quick glimpse of the Second Victims Program.
So a Second Victims Program is based on the idea that when there's a trauma or a tragedy, that, of course, the patients and their families are the first victims when that happens. However, the people that take care of those families and those people are also often traumatized and upset with outcomes when perhaps we couldn't save somebody. And so a Second Victims Program, which ours is called RISE, Resilience in Stressful Events, is what that stands for, is designed to make sure that when difficult things happen, and this crisis is going to be difficult for everybody, we are taking care of the people who are taking care of the sick patients and the families of those sick patients. And so we have built this program. We were working on it before the virus hit, and we've moved the timeline up so that we have in place peer supporters, individuals who have volunteered within our system to take care of others if they become overwhelmed or extremely upset or stressed by an event that happens related to care for patients.
Any additional remarks, maybe something important related to this topic I didn't ask you? There's certainly lots more to say about all of these topics, but we have a moment left. Anything else to add?
I've got a couple of things. One is draw on your spirituality and those who inspire you, your personal beliefs and values. And if you can stay true to yourself and who you want to be in this crisis, that is one way to help you through. The other is to really look for opportunities in this crisis. I know that's hard to say, but people are slowing down and we're reconnecting in new ways. And reach out to others that you haven't spoken to lately. Find ways to reach across that space. There's actually good evidence in the psychological literature that if you find ways to help others, and it does two things. It makes us feel useful, and it actually helps us feel better. So check on your neighbors. Get groceries for older individuals. Reach out because that makes a difference to them, and it makes a difference to us. And I guess my last point would be reach out to resources if you need them. This is a time it's okay to ask for help for you, for your family, for your friends. Reach out to those people that you feel like you can talk to. I know there's still a stigma out there in our country around mental health. We have mental health providers who can help. But your church community, your friends, your family, hotlines, don't be afraid to reach out or don't feel stigmatized to do that. There are a lot of people who are struggling in this, and there's help out there.